Amen. Thank you, Benita. Made a way from the manger to the cross. Well, you know, this is the Christmas season, and really, one of the first couples on earth that knew of the Christ child coming was this couple. Now, I want you to notice a little bit about them. We can learn a lot of lessons from this couple, Zacharias and Elizabeth, great Christians. I want you to notice they were both saved, number one. Look, if you would, in verse 6, they were both righteous before God. Now, everyone in this room has got to remember one thing. All of us in this room are sinners. Notice, if you have your Bible, turn to verse number 77 of chapter 1. Look with me, if you would. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So Zacharias knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he had a list of sins that had to be forgiven. And the only way someone gets to heaven today is if you've come to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness. If you've asked him to remove your sins for all eternity. And so there's a point in time that everyone is born again. Now, it's a term that's misused today, but Jesus was the one that coined it. He said you must be born again in John chapter 3. So everybody in this room, if you're going to get to heaven, you must be born again. Born physically the first time. Everybody here's got a birthday. But when is your second birthday? The day that you came to the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. You'll notice that in this passage, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, they were both righteous, husband and wife, had both trusted the Lord as Savior. Now, they were both saved, but they took another step after that. Many people do not. Notice the next phrase, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. In other words, they not only were saved, but they chose to walk with the Lord. The church chose to do what's right. They chose to take God's word and look at it and read it. Notice if you have your Bible, take it with me if you would, and turn over to the same chapter. Look with me if you would in this passage, verse number 70, verse number 69 and 70. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Every Jew knew that David was going to be the house the Messiah would come from. But notice verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So God has used his prophets, and they knew the scriptures. So they had read the scriptures. They had studied the scriptures. They knew the Messiah was coming. And so they were so excited about one day the Messiah coming. Now, they thought of it differently. They thought he was going to set up a kingdom for them. And so they were excited about it. But they had a problem. They're not only saved, but they had some suffering. If you notice, if you would, in verse number 7 of this passage, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Now, you're going to know that this is a reproach on a wife or a woman if she's married, if she can't have children. Look in verse number 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. We don't think of it today as they did. But if you were married and didn't have any children, she was sort of like, well, there's something wrong with you. God hasn't blessed you. You're not blessed of God. And so she had a reproach. When men would see her, they'd just kind of turn and go the other way. And so her whole life of married life, she was reproached. So she had some suffering. Now, I don't have to tell you, Zacharias suffered with her. He suffered along. But I want you to notice, not only did they suffer because she had no children, but you'll notice that they didn't have a lot either. Look at verse number 80. And the child grew. This is after John the Baptist is born. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. So he grew up a Bedouin. He grew up in a tent. They didn't have much. Sort of like this. And none of us in this room really, I don't think, can relate to this. A small, sickly child was brought to a London hospital for treatment. The nurse came out and gave him a glass of milk. And he looked at the glass of milk and he said, how deep can I drink? And she said, you can drink the whole thing. And his eyes lit up. You see, he came from a poor family. And so what the father would do is he would take a pencil and he would mark and say, Johnny, you can drink this much milk. Mary, you can drink that much milk. Bobby, you can drink that much milk. So they shared one glass. They were very poor. Well, this young man was elated when he got his own full glass of milk. Now, I don't think most of us in this room can think like that. When you go to your refrigerator, we don't think about, I can only have a little sip. We don't think about that. God has blessed us in this world. This couple is poor. I don't think all of us in this room can understand the blessing of God until something is removed from us. And so today, I want you to understand, everybody in this room, you've been blessed. How many of you do not have a refrigerator? So I thought, everybody. You've got stuff in that refrigerator you can go in there and get. It's orange juice, milk, cold water. We don't realize what it's like to be desert poor. That's the way John the Baptist grew up. And so his parents didn't have a lot. I want you to notice they did suffer. Now, but I want you to notice something about them. In the midst of their suffering, and folks, today, this is really the point of the message. When things aren't going well, how do you handle it? How do I handle it? How do we respond to the Lord? How do we respond to people? How do we respond? Well, notice with me if you would, they said, we're still going to serve the Lord. Even though we got nothing, even though God doesn't bless us with children and we're approached to people, we're still going to do what's right. We're going to still serve the Lord. And if I could get everybody in this room, every family in this room, every husband and wife, every teenager. Now, you know, young people, it's awfully hard for you to understand what it's like to have nothing. Because everybody here's got closets. How many of you know what a closet is? How many of you need another closet? Don't raise your hand. We all would like to have, one of the things you go look for is a closet in the new house. When you're buying a new house, you look around and say, what size the closet? Now, if you're a guy and you're married, you want to make sure at least there's two or you get nothing. That's sort of the way it is. You want to make sure you watch out for it. So, you know, I can remember, you know, you go into a closet and you can see a rack and, you know, your eyes light up as you see a big old closet there. These people have no concept of a closet. Most of the world has no concept of a second set of clothes. So they were poor. But they determined to do what was right. And so everybody in this room, you can determine to do what's right. Now, maybe you've got some health issues. You can still determine to do what's right. You can still, if you're saved, you may be suffering, but you can still serve the Lord. Will you do it? I see in this passage, notice with me if you would, I love this part. I can imagine Zachariah saying, honey, it's going to be okay. It's okay, but honey, the men look at me like there's something wrong with me. Sweetheart, it's okay. You're good enough for me. I love you. And I'm certain they had that conversation many times. And so there's some men in this room, I hope you comfort your wife during difficulty. Or wives, I hope you comfort your husbands during difficulties. Young people, I hope you comfort a brother and sister in difficulties. Do what is right in suffering. Because you never know, Christmas is right around the corner. They had no idea that God had chosen them. Nobody's of the world. God said, I've got a couple that I know I can give John the Baptist to, and they will do what is right with him. I know that. And this couple was not known for anything except doing what was right. And I want you to understand today, that's what God's looking for. It's somebody to just say, we're just going to do what is right. And I love the passage, walking in all the ordinances. It's not some of them. They didn't pick and choose. They read the scriptures. They learned the ordinances of God, what God wanted. And don't lie and don't cheat and honor your fellow man and love the Lord. And they said, we're going to do that. So they walked together in all the ordinances of God. They didn't leave anything out. They were all in. Boy, I love that about Elizabeth and her husband Zacharias. And I want to encourage you. It's Christmas. I can't get over, it's Christmas. And we're always supposed to give something to the person whose birthday it is. Right? But you know what we do? It's Christmas. I'm going to give John a gift. Yeah, it's Christmas. Do you know what he said? Good. Okay, that's great. Never any help from any deacons. Okay, so here, I look over to Brandon. I'm going to give Brandon a gift. I know it's your birthday, Lord, but I'm going to give Carolina a gift. Lord, it's your birthday. I'm going to give Scott a gift. What's that? Let me ask you a question. What are you going to give Jesus this Christmas? What gift are you going to give him? So I notice this couple, they didn't know it was going to be Christmas soon, the first Christmas. They didn't know that. But they were ready. They were walking right. They were doing what's right. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. We got nothing. And Lord, we don't even have children to give to you. And so notice what they did. But I like this part. Notice, if you would, in verse 13. But the angel, now let me go back to verse 12. Verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So it's Zacharias' job to go give incense. And so the priests all had jobs. Some offered the sacrifices. Some cleaned the altar. Some went in and lit the golden candlesticks, and some of them offered incense. And it was Zacharias' job to offer incense. So he went in to offer incense. Now there's people standing outside waiting. Notice, if you would, in verse 10, and the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. Verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fell upon him. Fear fell upon him. He's scared to death. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias. And what's the next phrase? Thy prayer is heard. Now, folks, that is a wonderful statement. Here's a poor couple. They got nothing. How much can I drink, Dad? Well, there's no kid to ask that. They don't have enough. I'm imagining his wife said, honey, I'll drink down to here and you drink the rest. Okay. And they were dirt poor. They were desert poor. And then all of a sudden they had no children. They just had each other and the Lord. But that was enough. Everybody in this room, you got to decide if the Lord's enough for you. And so they're serving the Lord faithfully, and he goes in. All of a sudden, this angel comes. But nobody knew it. But while she can't have children, he's over praying, and he says, Lord, I sure would like to have a son. They're past childbearing. It's too late. It's never too late to ask the God of heaven. What a great lesson to learn. When Susan and I lost our little girl, Melissa, 42, 3 years ago, I remember taking a week and fasting and praying and said, Lord, would you give her back to me? Now, Susan was carrying the little girl. She was dead. They said to us. But I said, Lord, you've done it before. And I asked him to revive her and let her be born alive. And the doctor's wrong. He didn't. But I can still ask. And so can you. And you can see sometimes God says, okay. Don't ever stop asking for miracles. Because God can answer. So here, he's praying away and he's saying, Lord, I sure would like to have a son. And I know we can't have children now, but Lord, but you can do anything. I don't know how. I can't figure it all out. And folks, today, if you just do what's right and you pour your heart out to the Lord, leave the results to him. He's the one that does miracles, not us. We don't have to figure it all out. If you've ever had a child that's ill and the doctor says, man, I've given them medicine and this and that, I don't know what else to do. And the fever goes up to 104, 105, and you say, I don't know what to do. And you get down on your knees and say, Lord, it's up to you. And the Lord says, okay, I got this. Do you understand? It's never too late to pray, to talk with the Lord. And so now he's offering the incense up and an angel shows up. And the angel says in verse 13, fear not, Zacharias, fear not. I'm in the presence of an angel and you don't want me to be afraid. He says, for thy prayer is heard and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son and thou shalt call his name John. He prayed for his wife to have a baby and he prayed for a son. Pretty specific, huh? He didn't pray for the name. So he said, I'll give you the name. Name's John. Now, that was unique because nobody in the family was named John. So, notice if you would, in verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. What more could you ask? I'm going to have a son that's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and I'm a nobody. God still hears and answers prayer. Now, the reason I like Zacharias is because I can be like him. And so can you. I can pray with about that much faith. Anybody ever prayed with very little faith? Oh, I think the Lord loves that. Now, it can be costly. So notice what happens. In verse number 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He's going to be a great flaming evangelist. He's going to see many people saved. Can you imagine what he must have thought? He's in the temple. He is offering the incense. And the angel says, you're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. And I want you to know, he's going to turn a lot of people, thousands of people back to the Lord. It's going to be a revival. And your son's going to be at the head of it. Isn't that wonderful? Well, notice if you would, in verse number 17, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You mean my son is going to be the forerunner of the Messiah? Well, who are we? We're nobodies. Do you understand? I have taught in Sunday school for about 8 months on nobodies in Scripture. God loves to use nobodies. Because they just walk right when only one person is watching. He is watching. Can you just be a nobody today? You got to humble yourself. You got to give your dreams over to the Lord. So, Lord, I'll just do what you want me to do. I'll walk with you. So, notice if you would, I get so excited about it. You'll notice if you would in verse number 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? Now, I want you to know this. I haven't asked that question before. I'm going to tell you why. I read this passage earlier, and I'm not going to do that. Because I like my voice. He says, how am I going to know this, Lord? Now, what I think is, he was thinking about, I'm going to go out and tell my wife. And she's past childbearing. She's going to look at me and say, you're crazy. And he's going to say, that's what God says. He says, how will I know it? What can I tell her? What proof can I give her? Does anybody remember somebody else says, how I know you're going to use me? Anybody remember that? Moses. Lord, how do I know you're going to use me? What's that in your hand? It's a rod. He said, throw it down, throws it down, turns into a snake, and he runs off. He says, now pick it up by the tail. He didn't say, oh, Lord, you're not supposed to do that. He was telling him to pick it up by the tail. Who picks up a snake by the tail? Only an idiot, because he'll turn around and bite you. But Moses had enough faith to obey God to reach down and grab it by the tail and turn back into the rod. He says, wow. And so he went on to become Moses the Great One, even though he was a nobody in his heart, the meekest man on earth. He didn't think of himself as important. And folks, today, if you want God to use you in serving him and telling people about the Lord and making a difference in the lives of other people, you got to be a nobody. You got to have a meek and quiet spirit and say, Lord, I just want to be something to you. That's it. And so now all of a sudden, he says, Lord, what am I going to do? I need to tell my wife, but I don't have any proof of what you said. In verse number 18, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel said, I am Gabriel. Now, I think that's wonderful. Gabriel. Can you name another angel? Michael. Can you name another one? I can't. There's only two angels I can think of. Michael and Gabriel. Pardon me? Do you hear what he said? Lucifer. That's not what I'm looking for. Good angels. Oh my goodness. I need to talk to you in my office after service, okay? Good angels, good angels. Can you name any good angels? No, he's only given us two, and God says, I got one for you. Can you imagine one of the famous angels, Gabriel, to stand before me? And he said, I think it's important. I am Gabriel. Oh, my, this must be important. I am Gabriel, and notice, if you would, that stand in the presence of God. Oh, my. How many of you like to have an angel that stands in the presence of God give you a message? Wow. Notice what he says. And am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And notice in verse 20. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. That's not mentally dumb. That and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I love Zacharias because I can be Zacharias. I can pray without believing. Can you? I mean, the Lord says you just need a faith as a grain of mustard seed. But sometimes I pray about things, you know, the land and the floodplain. I mean, I'm praying, Lord, would you give us the floodplain? And there's this one guy that for 1 year, every time I see him, he says, I want this. I want that. He keeps changing his mind. It's just like a girl. I'm changing my mind back and forth. And I said, come on, just give me what you want. I want this and I want that and back and forth and back and forth. Did you know that Tuesday he said this? I'm good. I got what I want. Oh, yes, Lord, yes. Oh, I got it. I was so excited. I couldn't believe the Lord finally settled his heart. You know why? We've been pounding on heaven. Lord, you got to do something. We can't do it. Now, we're not out of the woods yet, but to see the Lord answer along the way, even when you sort of don't have enough faith to believe, God still answers. But he doesn't answer something if you don't ask. Today, what does God want you to do? What are one of your dreams? Why don't you lay it out before the Lord? Why don't you say, Lord, it's me. I'm a nobody. But I'd like for you to use me. I love the passage here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long. So he comes out, and in verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So she's hiding for 5 months, because I think she was just wanting to make sure that she was going to be able to have a little one. She didn't want to go through all the pregnancy and lose it and then end up back in the same spot. So in the 6th month, excuse me, verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, the first Christmas is in preparation. He comes to Mary, and now Mary's bearing the Christ child. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 37, and this is what I want you to get this morning. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Today, if you're facing the impossible, ask the Lord for it. If you got somebody with a health issue, if you got an issue at work, if you got an issue in your heart, if you're battling some sin, do you understand that sin defeats us all until we get on our knees and say, Lord, you got to help me. And then there's victory in Jesus. Today, are you battling something in your heart and mind? You want to walk right, but the sin just keeps defeating you. Bring it to the Lord. Maybe you've got some weight that's on your shoulders. Bring it to the Lord. I look at Zacharias, I am so encouraged because I see a man that the only thing he did, he was poor, desert poor. He was saved, and he just decided one thing. Honey, you and I, we're just going to walk right before the Lord. That's all we can do, and I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to do what's right. And he did that for many, 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 many years. We don't know how old he is here. Oh, we don't know if he's 60. We don't know if he's 50. But it's been 25, 30 years they've walked together with no children. And then God says, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer. Now, notice it with me if you would. In verse number, take your Bible and turn to verse number, verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be. And then he goes on this long passage of scripture. But look at, if you would, in verse number 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed mercy unto her, and they rejoiced with her. It came to pass that on the eighth day they were to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias after the name of the father. That was traditional. Name him after the father. His mother answered and said, not so. His name shall be called John. Now, her husband had already said, now remember, Gabriel said, name him John. So when he's born, let's name him John. And they said unto her, there's none in thy kindred that is named by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him. Hey, what do you want? And he gets a writing tablet and says, his name is John. He's very obedient. There's not going to be any question. He's going to do exactly what Gabriel said, was what the Lord said. And notice, if you would, in the moment he says that, apparently it was such a tradition to name your children after yourself, and it was a humbling thing to name him something completely different. And God was willing to see the last test. Was he willing to name this only son what God wanted or what he wanted? His name is John, and they marveled, verse 63, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised the Lord. And fear came on all that dwelt around them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. So the word goes out. There's something special about this child. His name is John. There's something special about him. Now let me just finish up. He grows up, verse 80. He presents himself as a preacher of the gospel, and people throng to hear him. And as he's preaching away and thousands come to hear him, one day he sees the Messiah. And if you have your Bible, you could turn. You don't have to turn there. But John chapter 1 and 2, all of a sudden he sees Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He was born in the manger to die on the cross, to pay our debt of sin. And John knew it, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Today, do you understand the story of Christmas is the most wonderful story about the love of God to you and I? but it started with John the Baptist and two nobodies named Zacharias and Elizabeth that said, Lord, we're just going to do what we can to serve you. And God says, I want to use you. I'm looking for people like you. Today, God's looking for nobodies that pray with almost no faith, just a little bit. And God says, I can use you. And then, you know the story, John the Baptist gets his head cut off for telling the truth, for doing what's right. And I imagine that Zacharias and Elizabeth, if they were still alive, they may not have been. I sort of think they were already in heaven so that they didn't have to see that. But I don't know that. But can you imagine the pride and the joy in their heart when they walk out to an area hill and they see 10,000 people there and John the Baptist preaching, people coming to trust Christ as Savior, to come and trust the Messiah, even though they don't know who he is, and him baptizing them in the Jordan River. Can you imagine the thrill of the parents today? You and I will never know what the thrill of serving the Lord is unless we just do what we can while we're nobodies. And keep praying because God wants to use you. Now today, it's Christmas. It's coming up Christmas. Who is it do you think God wants to use you to make a difference in their life? God used Zacharias and Elizabeth to make a difference in all of our lives. I look at this couple and I say, Lord, help me to be like them. Help me just to do what I can do while I have the opportunity. And Lord, you take care of the rest. But Lord, I'm going to ask for this and for this and for this. But Lord, it looks to me to be impossible, but not for you. Today, the Lord can do anything. There are some people that, how many of you have unsaved loved ones in your home, in your family? You've got people in your family that are unsaved. Let me see your hands. See them all over. Folks, pray. Nothing's impossible. I've told you, my uncle got saved on his deathbed after 70-something years. Don't give up. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God uses nobodies. Will you let him use you today? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Oh, how much the Lord loves to use people that don't think they're very important. But the Lord Jesus said, you're worth more to me than all the world. And he said it to every one of us. Maybe you're here today. You say, Pastor, if I died today, if I died right this minute, I don't know I'd go to heaven. But you can. Jesus died for you. If you'd come to me this morning, I'm going to give them just a minute. We're going to stand to our feet. And I'm going to give an invitation. That means I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. I'll get someone to take a Bible and show you how you can know before you leave this building from God's word that you're on your way to heaven. But you have to take the first step. Now, I can tell you this. I sat where you sat 52 years ago. And I took that first step and the Lord walked me down the aisle. And I trusted Christ as Savior. And he'll do the same for you. Because you're just as important to him as I am. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing in just a moment. Have that on the way, Lord. You come to me. I'll help you with it. You're not alone. People love in this place. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm carrying a weight. Bring it to the Lord. Thy prayer is heard, Zacharias. Even though you didn't believe, everybody can pray like that. Could I encourage you to come this morning? And even though we've never had to put a mark on a cup and ask, how deep can I drink? You've got things the Lord can use. Will you give them to him? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Will you give him your heart this morning? Will you serve him? Will you begin to pray for people in your family that are lost? People at your work? Will you let the Lord use you? Father, will you speak to our hearts today? Thank you so much for Zacharias and Elizabeth and their sweet testimony of being nobodies. And yet, Lord, they were faithful. Lord, we can do that. Speak to our hearts this morning. In your name we pray.